My guest, John Voight, is one of the stars of John Borman's new film, The General. Voight and Borman go back a long way. Voight co-starred in Borman's 1972 film, Deliverance. It was Voight's leading role in the 1969 film, Midnight Cowboy, that first made him a star. He played a small-town guy who quits his dishwashing job to make it in New York, where he becomes a small-time stud. Here's a scene early in the film. He's just told a fellow dishwasher he's leaving.
What are you gonna do back east?
There's a lot of rich women back there, Ralph. Begging for it, paying for it, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, hell yeah. And the men, they're mostly tutti-frutties.
Oh, I bet you're some mess back there.
So I'm gonna cash in on some of that, right?
I don't know. I don't know nothing about it.
Hell, what do I got to stay around here for? I got places to go, right?
John Voight won an Academy Award in 1979 for his role as a paraplegic Vietnam veteran in Coming Home. His recent films include Mission Impossible and The Rainmaker. You can see him now in Enemy of the State. In The General, Voight plays Ned Kenny, the police inspector determined to capture the elusive thief Martin Cahill, the most wanted man in Ireland. In this scene, Cahill, played by Brendan Gleeson, accuses the inspector of losing his moral center.
You're getting to be like me. Trespass, harassment, intimidation, beating people up. You've had to come down to my level.
That's right, Martin. You brought me down with you. I'm in the gutter as well.
John Voight's character is a composite of several Irish police inspectors. One of them, Gerry O'Carroll, became Voight's mentor for the film.
This guy, Gerry, when we went on our little rounds, as actors do, and I certainly do, he took me into many a strange place. One place was this interrogation aspect of his work. And he would open the door into this interrogation room, and there would be a fellow sitting there. And Gerry, who would be saying, "John, no, wait, John, stay here. I'll go in and see. I'll check it out. I know this fella. I'll go and talk to him a bit. Then I'll bring you in." Stuff like that, you see. And then he would go in, and I would hear him shouting, and then he'd tell me to come in the room. He'd say, and he introduced me as the inspector from another part of Ireland. He would say, "You see this man here? You see this man? He's come all the way down from Kerry to see you. What do you think, inspector?" And he'd throw it at me, and I'd say, "I don't want anything to do with it now." I'd leave the room or whatever I'd say, you know. But he was amazing. I can't really, you know, he used a lot of, vulgarity, I suppose you would say, a little swearing and stuff like that, although it was very charming and very rich in flavor. But when he went into this room, he would turn into this other personality, you know. And then when he come out of this particular place, he said to me, "He's a real villain, you know, John. This fella's a real villain. He knows me, I know him. This isn't going to do any good to him. Not going to break this fella. Back on the streets, you know, doing his, plying his trade."
So when you were in the interrogation room with him, you had to not only pretend you were someone else, you had to fake an accent.
Yeah, well, my accent, I mean, I'm pretty far away from the time I did the film, so my accent will be somewhere, Icelandic or something, you know, halfway between America and Ireland now. But when I was there, I was really a student of the accent, and I did a very good study of it, and I think I produced a pretty authentic accent, actually. But I'm fairly good with accents, so I didn't have discomfort in attempting it. But as I, when I got there, I realized that the accent from these fellows, who are the detectives, the accents come from other parts of the country. All the other players were going to play Dublin accents, but the interesting thing was that I was going to play this fellow who was from Kerry, let's say, and these other fellows were playing Dublin accents, were using Dublin accents, but some of them were coming from other parts of Ireland, and they had to relearn their accent. So I wasn't the only fellow that had to do an accent in the piece that was unfamiliar.
You're in a bunch of new films now. Before Mission Impossible, you seem to have been not doing a lot in terms of movies. And I'm wondering what was happening in your life during that period when you weren't making a lot of theatrical films.
Well, quite a lot was going on, actually. I'm a person who I'm a humanitarian. I have been involved for much of my adult life in many causes. And during that time, I made several films. I turned down a lot of pieces, theatrical pieces, and I did some pieces that had to do with certain causes that I felt strongly about. One I did for TNT, which was about Chernobyl. I did a piece about the Rainbow Warrior, which is the Greenpeace ship that was protesting nuclear testing in the Pacific. I was very, very busy. And then I came to a period where my mom was quite ill, and her boys wanted to be around her continuously. My two brothers and myself arranged our schedules to, you know, spend time with her and spell each other in that process and design things so that she would look forward to different events for her life. And in the process of that, toward the end of that period, I was looking for a little trip to take with my mom because she loved to go on to film sets. So I said, well, now I've got to get a big film. So I said, well, what would be exotic enough for her to get excited about? And all of a sudden, I was offered this part with Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. And I was able to come back to my mother and say, Mom, guess what? We're going to go to Czechoslovakia, and then we're going to go to London. We're going to spend a couple of weeks in each place in March. John, that's great. So she was a very interesting gal who had just a very admirable personality. She was a very strong gal, and she had determined that she wasn't going to take any radiation. She would take a little chemotherapy.
She had cancer?
She had cancer, and... She had a bad an arm that was giving her a lot of pain. She had bone cancer toward the end, and her arm was giving her a lot of pain. And she found that if she had a little radiation, that the pain would go away for some time. She knew it was not doing anything, you know, positive for her arm in the long run, but she was very pragmatic, and she said, "Well, I'll go into the hospital. Give me 2 weeks' notice, and I'll go get the radiation. And 2 weeks later, I'll be pain free, and I'll be able to jump around with you." And that's the way she was. She was jumping around with me in Czechoslovakia, in London. I mean, she came over and she had a wonderful, wonderful time. So then I was back into it again. And then she said, "Well, what's next?" And then I had to come up with a couple of other offers, which I did. And then I was on the way. And then she passed on, and I was back at work. And that's what she wanted anyway. So I think I'm probably following her encouragement.
Do you think your mother led you back into it?
Yeah, I think in some way she did.
You've physically changed a bit since you started in movies, and I'm wondering if you think your physical type is different, and of course your age is different, and how the roles you get now compared to the ones you got early in your career.
I was always a character actor, Terry, so, and it was always a little difficult for people to pin me down. I've had my moments when I was a romantic lead, but they were very brief. Coming Home was one of them. But as I say, I was always a character actor, always looking to change the way I walked and talked, and looking at each character as a totally different portrait from anything prior. And I'm still in that mode. I have a little more, you know, I have different paints to work with. I look in the mirror and I've changed, and I now have, maturity, you have a little more weight, I suppose, and as a personality, you have more weight, and you can do other things.
Well, let's go back to John Voight, the early years. Your first big break as an actor was getting cast in the Broadway production of Sound of Music, where you got to play the character of Ralph, the young man who sings 16 Going on 17.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Was that what you saw for yourself, being a star in Broadway musicals?
No, I didn't actually see that. I had a very funny experience with that. When I went into audition for Richard Rodgers, I had come down to the audition in a rainstorm on a bicycle, on a motorbike, with this fellow who was my manager and played the piano for me. And the only reason I had him as a manager is because I couldn't get another manager. This guy wanted to be my manager, and he was he managed musical talents. So the only things he ever auditioned me for were musicals. But I wasn't much of a singer. Matter of fact, I thought at the time, I said, I couldn't really think of myself as getting any of these jobs. And I went on stage, and I just happened to have this little, you know, maybe it was a cold coming on from the rain or whatever it is, but my voice was a little deeper, and I was able to get through this little melody, which the boy had to sing. And as we came out after the audition, I was used to saying thank you very quickly and saving my dignity and walking off the stage before they said thank you, do you know? And I got to the stage door, and my manager, this fellow Ron, came running out, and he said, they like you. They want you to do the part. And I looked at him in shock, and I said, they want me to do the part? You get in there and you tell those people I can't sing. That's my response. He said, I can't tell. Richard Rodgers was out there. So, oh, boy, what are we going to do? I didn't know what to do. So I got the part, and I thought because I had gotten the part and because nobody said what a terrible singer that I was doing all right. And then I heard a recording back once in after a matinee, and it was just as bad as I thought it was. And I tried to desperately, you know, stay on the notes after that without using every technique and concentration I could.
You still remember your big song?
I still remember it, Terry, but I ain't going to sing it.
Right.
Forget it.
Okay, forgotten. So were you on the original cast? You're not on the cast recording.
No, I was the first replacement. I replaced a fellow by the name of Brian Davies.
Oh, so did you get to know Richard Rodgers?
Not well. I met him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I married the young lady I played opposite, Laurie Peters, wonderful actress.
Oh, you're kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So at your wedding, you could have sung
marriage,
the duet.
But we still are friends. It was cute. You know, we had a nice marriage.
If you're just joining us, my guest is John Voight, and he plays the detective in the new film, The General, which is based on the true story of kind of infamous Irish crime boss, I guess you could say, named Martin Cahill. And the film's called The General. We'll take a short break here and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is John Voight, and his new movie is called The General. John Voight, in 1969, you starred in Midnight Cowboy, playing a dishwasher from Texas who comes to New York and tries to make it as a hustler, coming on to lonely but affluent middle-aged women. How did you get the part?
You know what I like about this? The description is so nicely formed, and that's actually what it's about, of course. But but it's so funny, you know, because, I don't know, I mean, when you look at the film and you remember, a lot of women up there, lonely women. You know, waiting for it, just praying for it, too. So, you know, it's a real mess up there. It must be a real mess up there. Well, I'm going to get me some of that stuff. Ralph, you know, whatever it was in the movie. It's just amusing.
How did you get the part of Joe Buck? I read that you were turned down for it several times, but you kept coming back, insisting you should have it.
Yeah, I've been a person who didn't really ever... before that, concerned myself if I was turned down for a role. I mean, you have to, as an actor, boy, you have to have a lot of, you have to have a little bit of calluses on your psyche in order that you don't get hurt continuously from the rejections, because you're being rejected continuously. But for me, I would always take it more philosophically. And say, well, if it's not me, then the other guy's got this hard work to do to produce this, you know, effort. And I would give him all the encouragement in the world. Sometimes I would even say, well, I think there's a better fellow. I met this guy, or Robert Redford would be real good for this part, or something like that. You know, I wasn't shy about suggesting other people, even in the face of people wanting me sometimes. But anyway, in this case, it was unique. I read the book, and I had really fallen in love with this character, and I felt very strongly about the way to approach it. And when it was not given to me, finally, after long deliberations, looking at screen tests and stuff like this, they had it down to two people, myself and another fellow, and they went the other way, because the other fellow had just done a picture for Universal, and he was a little more of a known entity. And I tried to, you know, take this blow philosophically as well, but I found myself walking around the city, New York City, where I was living at the time, and just I had a knot in my stomach I couldn't get rid of. I just felt terrible. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then finally, I received a call from my agent saying, don't give up hope. Something's happening. Something's stirring here, and it might come back to you. And indeed it did. So I was saved from a tremendous ulcer at a young age.
So who was the actor who was supposed to get it?
I actually don't like to mention names because it's, you know, it won't
be helping them.
It wasn't a happy moment for him, and right. Why should I? He's a tremendous actor, so let him be.
Right. So here you are in your film breakthrough, playing opposite Dustin Hoffman, who this was after The Graduate, I guess. So he had already started to make a name for himself. So it must have been fun to work together.
Yes, because I'd known Dusty. I'd done a piece called A View from the Bridge in New York with a director whose name was Ulu Grossbard. And Ulu is a tremendous director. He's done some films and done some stage work that's been very admirable. And he was very close friends with Dusty. And Dusty used to show up, and he was a little bit of an assistant to the director. He would just throw his comments in, and I remember some of them. Some of his thoughts were always unique, always based on authentic circumstances, very unusual ideas. Like there's a point where the neighborhood, and we're doing this in a little theater, very, very tiny little place, and he had guys throwing fruit from the light booth to make it more realistic that the neighborhood was upset, you know, throwing garbage out the windows. But anyway, so I had known Dusty, and Dusty actually was very generous with me specifically. After the first rehearsal of A View from the Bridge, which had many wonderful actors, among them was Bobby Duvall. Prominent among them was Robert Duvall, and he was great in the piece. And I was the second lead, really. And Dusty came up to me at one point and said to me very quietly, as was Dusty's way, as is Dusty's way, he says, "You're going to be very good in this," he said to me. And I said, "Wow, thanks, Dustin." And so a couple of years later, there I was with Dustin Hoffman, doing a screen test for Midnight Cowboy, so we knew each other, and I had never seen him act, but I had heard so many great things about him. You know, the word was out. You know, on actors before anybody ever knew them, before they got the roles to exhibit their potential. People like Gene Hackman, Bobby Duvall, Dustin Hoffman were all being talked about before they came to the fore. Al Pacino. Bobby De Niro. You know, I heard about these guys at different moments. Bobby De Niro's done some great work at the studio, man. Stuff like that, you know. So.
Well, John Voight, a pleasure to talk with you. I want to thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. Pleasure to talk to you, too.
John Voight stars in the new film, The General. You can also see him in Enemy of the State. His film, Varsity Blues, opens soon, and he plays Noah in a forthcoming miniseries called Noah's Ark.